Hello, and welcome to the Cultural Property Law Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Dietz. In this podcast, we're going to be discussing cultural property law, antiquities looting, and art theft from its beginnings up through today. This episode is really basically just an introduction. I'm going to talk a lot about what I plan to do in future podcasts and also give a quick introduction and background on the development of international cultural property law and the primary international cultural property conventions that are in place today. And just in case anyone was wondering, the reason that I had the 1812 Overture playing at the beginning is because, in addition to being one of the greatest generals in history, Napoleon was also one of the greatest looters of antiquities and cultural property in history. And his opponents in the war in 1812 were the Russians. And although they weren't big looters of cultural property back in 1812, they would make up for that during World War II. Of course, they weren't as bad as the Germans, but I couldn't find a well-known piece of classical music that featured Napoleon and the Prussians. And now, on with the show. The issues of looting of cultural artifacts dates back, well, basically till the dawn of history. But the first discussions that we have really go back to Roman times, more specifically to around 200 or so BC, during the Second Punic War. That's the one with Hannibal. And during this war, it's said that the Romans pretty much stole all they could from Sicily. Sicily at the time was a Greek colony, so they were basically stealing Greek sculptures, Greek frescoes, Greek paintings, lots of things that are still looted today. And the Romans also present to us the first trial involving the looting of cultural property. This also was involving Sicily, and I'm going to go into a lot more detail about that case in a separate podcast, because there's a lot in there that has parallels in things going on today with cultural property looting. What I'm going to start by doing now is giving a bit of background information into the modern area of cultural property law, and specifically international cultural property conventions. And these date back a few centuries. The 30 Years' War of 1618 to 1648 wrought the most devastation on Europe that it would see until World War I. When the war ended, the parties agreed that all sides had suffered relatively equally from destruction of their cultural property. And it was agreed that such destruction should be avoided in future wars. Widespread looting generally goes hand in hand with war. The most recent example would be the looting that occurred and is still occurring in Iraq. So most of the international treaties dealing with cultural property looting are parts of broader treaties that deal with the laws of war, such as the Geneva Conventions. From the 1790s until 1815, Napoleon and the armies of the Empire systematically looted much of Europe as well as Egypt. But Napoleon's motivation was not just destruction or booty, but rather to turn the Louvre in Paris into the world's greatest museum of art and antiquity. When Napoleon was finally defeated in 1815, the Treaty of Paris, unlike the Treaty of Westphalia, required that France restore the works of art it had looted during Napoleon's reign. However, the French were only forced to return looted European works. Those taken from Egypt, which was ruled by the Ottomans at the time, were allowed to remain in France, with one particular exception being the Rosetta Stone, which the French were forced to turn over not to the Ottomans or the Egyptians, but to the British. And it can be seen still today at the British Museum. The reason the works were not returned to the Ottomans, the works that had been looted from Egypt, was ostensibly because they were not a party to the Treaty of Paris, but it's also a good example of European paternalism. that has been a problem until fairly recently. Namely, that European and other Western countries were considered to appreciate the antiquities and art of other nations, and that's why they were entitled to keep them, and they shouldn't be returned to their home countries. In any event, the Treaty of Paris is notable for containing the first demand of a return of cultural property in a peace treaty, and with it, the idea that cultural property belonged to all humanity began to take hold. As I mentioned, the fact that looting and war went hand in hand was recognized in the 1899 and 1907 Hague Convention, which codified the international law of warfare. And these were also the first international agreements to specifically prohibit pillage and to protect cultural property. The Hague Conventions held that cultural sites and objects could only be destroyed in cases of military necessity, and that all seizure or destruction or willful damage done to institutions listed in this charter, historic documents, works of art and science, is forbidden and should be made the subject of legal proceedings. Of course, when these conventions were first put to the test in World War I, they were largely ignored. For example, German troops destroyed the Louvain University in Belgium, along with its huge collection of medieval art and manuscripts. In addition, German planes bombed Reims Cathedral in France. Following the precedent set by the Treaty of Paris in 1815, when World War I ended with the Treaty of Versailles, Germany was required to return all, quote, trophies, archives, historical souvenirs, or works of art. Interestingly, the other side in the war, the Allied forces, were not required to return any such objects which they may or may not have taken. And there would be a parallel in World War II, when the victors, that is, the Russians primarily, were not required to return what they had looted from Germany and other countries, while the Germans were required to return what they had looted. But if you thought that World War I was bad in terms of looting and destruction of cultural property, it was really not all that bad compared to what was to come in World War II. But cultural property destruction during World War II was so extensive that a new set of international cultural property norms and standards were put into place to prevent such things occurring in any future conflict. And this forms the basis of the current international standards regarding cultural property looting today. The framework of the current international system regarding cultural property was the 1954 Hague Convention for the Protection of Cultural Property in the Event of Armed Conflict. This treaty has more than 100 signatories today and is the basis of all international law on the subject. Okay, well, that was just a really quick background on how cultural property law began to take hold. And I'm going to be going into a lot more detail on the various things that I mentioned today in future podcasts. But I'm not sure exactly what order I'll be taking, whether I'll be going chronologically or not. There will definitely be a podcast devoted to the case I mentioned where Cicero argued against Verus. There will be a lot on World War II and the issues that are around today, most notably with Holocaust looted art. I'm going to talk more about the 1954 Hague Convention and then the 1970 UNESCO Convention on the means of prohibiting and preventing the illicit transport, export, and transfer of ownership of cultural property. The 1970 Convention was based on the 1954 Hague Convention. It has now largely superseded the 1954 Convention as the main international rule of law governing cultural property. I'm also going to take a look at various laws of different countries regarding cultural property. I'm going to focus mainly on the U.S. because that's where I live, and the U.S. is also the primary importer of cultural property, both legally imported and illegal looted objects. Under U.S. law, I'll be focusing a lot on the CPIA, which is the Cultural Property Implementation Act, and that's what the U.S. enacted in order to implement the 1970 UNESCO Convention. There's also the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, or NAGPRA, which is a pretty controversial law because it required U.S. museums to return relics and artifacts from Native American tribes. But the problem is that current tribes, are allowed by the law to reclaim objects which are from the same region that they currently or previously lived in, even if those objects really were from other tribes which no longer exist. The law is also controversial because it requires museums putting on exhibits about various Native American cultures to consult with representatives of the current tribe in what those exhibits are going to cover. And because the representatives of those tribes are not trained in history or anthropology and fields like that, many people feel that the scholarship in the exhibits that are being put on are not exactly up to snuff, so to speak. I'm also going to look on the various laws of other nations and how they use those laws to combat cultural property looting, both by their own citizens and also the suits they've been bringing in U.S. courts of late. So I'll be looking at countries like Greece, Italy, Turkey, Egypt, Peru, Mexico. I'm also going to look at some of these cases involving the countries I just mentioned, which have set precedent in U.S. law for what American laws foreign nations can use in order to get standing in U.S. courts. And lastly, I'll be looking at current developments in the field, whether that's new laws that are being passed, new treaties, new court cases, and headlines or news stories relating to the field. Another thing I'll hopefully be able to do is to maybe get some interviews with practitioners in the field, law professors, bloggers who write about cultural property, but I'm going to need your help to do that, because if I get a lot of hits and a lot of downloads, then the people I just mentioned are going to be more likely to want to come on the show and be interviewed. So, tell a friend, download, leave a comment, write a review, and then hopefully I'll be able to bring you some interviews with those practitioners. So that's quite a lot that I'll be covering, and hopefully these podcasts are going to go a lot more smoothly, and the sound quality will be better, and they'll flow better, and all the rest, but this is really just my first time out, so I hope you'll cut me some slack on that. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you'll tune in next time for the next installment of the Cultural Property Law Podcast.